Good morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to be skipping around a little bit, but that's where we will get started. The story is told of a blind man and a seeing eye dog walking down the street and coming up on an intersection. And the dog never slows down. He just goes right out into the intersection. Cars begin to honk and screech to a halt, swerve to miss him. And a bystander watching this watches him cross by. When the man gets to the other side, he takes a treat out of his pocket and begins to hold it down for the dog. And the bystander can't help himself. He runs up to him and says, "Stop, stop, man, what are you doing? That dog almost got you killed." And the man says, "I'm trying to locate his mouth so that I might kick him in his rear." Sometimes life is a matter of perspective. This morning, I want to help us gain a perspective that will carry us through 2022. Beginning in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, 'Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does?' declares the Lord. 'Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel.'" Will you pray with me? Most holy God, we're grateful for the gift of this day. Lord, I pray now that your word will take root in our lives. Father, that no one will hear the words I speak, because my words don't matter. But Father, that we all might hear your voice and your direction for our life. Father, that we might grow in an awareness of what an awesome God you are. And Father, that we might grow in an awareness of who we are when we live in you. Father, help us to gain a proper perspective of how to live in the year ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who are disappointed that Wade is not here to preach, I want to assure you that no one is more disappointed than I am. I love this church. I love this church, but I love it so much more when I'm sitting out there with you. For those of you who are visiting, I want you to know that we do have a preacher, and I am not him, but he will be back next Sunday. So please come again. This is the first Sunday of 2022, and quite often it's become cliche to talk about resolutions and how quickly we depart from the resolutions that we made. Clichés like live and learn, stay the course, what comes around goes around, let's give 110%, let's leave it all on the field. Figures of speech whose effectiveness over time begins to become worn out with overuse and excessive familiarity. There's two things that we say around here often, but I pray that they haven't become cliché. Those things are, "Our God is a God of new beginnings, and his mercies are new every morning." Those phrases are quoted often around here, but they are to be celebrated regardless of how familiar they become, because they convey some of God's most amazing attributes: his grace, his glory, his mercy, his patience. As we celebrate this New Year's weekend and a new beginning, I want us to take a little time this morning to talk about jars of clay, perspective, and time. In the passage that we just read, God gives Jeremiah a word, and in it he compares Israel with a clay pot. Notice that Jeremiah watches the potter at work. I didn't realize it until this week, but the invention of pottery changed the way people lived. See, people had been wanderers following herds of animals around from this food source to that, or from this watering hole to that one, driven by famine, or driven by drought. But then pottery came along and allowed people to store and carry things, store grain for the winter to keep it in one place, or to carry water from a source back to where you live. By Jeremiah's time, every village had a potter, and so it had become extremely commonplace. Listen how Eugene Peterson describes this passage. He says, "Jeremiah's imagination went to work as he stood before this potter with his lump of clay and his wheel. Jeremiah had seen potters at work all of his life, but today he saw something else. He saw God at work, making a people for his glory. A people of God. Persons created in the image of God. Necessary, but not only necessary, each one also beautiful. And beautiful, but not only beautiful, each one also necessary. Each human being is an inseparable union of necessity and freedom. There is no human being who is not useful with a part to play in what God is doing. And there is no human being who is not unique with special lines and colors and forms distinct from anyone else. All this came clear to Jeremiah in the potter's house. The brute fact of the clay, lumpish and inert, shaped for a purpose by the hands of the potter. And then as it took shape, the realization of the uniquely designed individuality and wide-ranging usefulness it would acquire as a finished pot. Painted and baked and glazed, God shapes us for his eternal purposes, and he begins right here. The dust out of which we are made and the image of God into which we are created are made, in which we are made, are one in the same. Jeremiah had seen potters his entire life. He'd watched the clay spin round and round, and the potter mold the clay, working out the imperfections and the blemishes, patiently shaping it into what he wanted it to be. Peterson continues, he says, "And then the pot was spoiled. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand." Jeremiah knew all about that. He knew about spoiled vessels, men and women with impurities and blemishes that resist the shaping hand of the Creator. He rubbed shoulders daily with people who were not useful. Imperfections made their lives leak, holding neither wine nor water. A failure of proportion made their lives wobble or tip, unstable and undependable. Jeremiah had other words for it: sin, rebellion, self-will, wandering. But he had never had such a striking image for it. Jeremiah continued to observe, what would the potter do now? Kick the wheel and go off in a sulk? Throw the clay at the cat and go to the market and purchase another brand? Neither. He reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. God kneads and presses. He pushes and pulls. The creative work starts over again, patiently, skillfully. God doesn't give up. God doesn't throw away what is spoiled. The clay became marred in his hands, but he doesn't throw it out and start with new. He doesn't smash it in anger, but he begins patiently working the clay into something else, something better and more beautiful. God likened the pot to the people of Israel. He said that he was their potter. And he told Jeremiah that as the maker and molder of the nation of Israel, he had authority to do whatever he decided to do. God's ownership over Israel meant that he loved and cared for them. Like the potter, God lovingly molds his people into a vessel that he's proud to display. He then goes on in that passage and tells Jeremiah that he could destroy or send disaster upon any other nation, including the nation of Israel. But if they repented, he would not do so. He also says that the opposite is true, that when he intends to do good, to allow a nation to prosper and flourish, to be planted and grow, if it does evil, he can reconsider and withdraw the good that he intended for it. If I might extend that metaphor from Israel to us as 21st century Christians, I remind us that God is still the potter and we are still the clay. Will we allow God to mold us in the new year? Will we accept not only the prosperity and the good things that come our way, but also the troubles and the issues and the failed plans and dealing with viruses and whatever else might come our way to mold us into better versions of ourselves? Or will we grow bitter, more independent, more divisive, less loving towards others, and less trusting towards God? When I think of jars of clay, my mind always goes to Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians, beginning in verse 6 of chapter 4, Paul writes, "For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show us that all surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. You see, Paul takes this metaphor a step further, in that he points out that we are not just formed by God's hand, that we carry the light of Christ within us. God dwells within us. Throughout his letters, Paul says it in different ways. To the Ephesians, he writes it like this in chapter 5. "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." He says, imitate God because you are his dear children. In the same way that children look like their parents, that little boys and little girls look like their moms and dads, we are to look like our Heavenly Father. We're his children, his image bearers. I remember Mike Armour sharing last year in a communion thought when he said, "Don't just wear his name, bear his image." And so in 2022, I invite us to stop chasing success and start chasing significance. You see, significance is a life that matters to others. One that invests not in just making a name for ourselves on this earth, but invest in people and making a difference in their lives for eternity. To live in a way that honors and glorifies God, and in doing so, you will live a life that is significant. Showing humility, putting others first, sacrificing for our family, our coworkers, our employees, our neighbors, and our friends. Yep, we will miss the mark. We will fall short. But if we stay on that potter's wheel, God will mold us. And if we repent, he will mold us into something beautiful and more useful. We're called to remember who we are and to let him mold us. When you're aware of the treasure, you don't see things, just see things happening. You see God at work. In your life, in your circumstances, when life doesn't go as planned, when a great thing happens, do you stop and see God? Do you look for what he's trying to show you or to teach you? Are we aware of the treasure that lives within us? If so, we can see God's hand at work all around us. I want us to be a church like Jeremiah, in that he observed God at work in the ordinary things of life. Do we have that perspective? That we're jars of clay, but that we have this treasure, and that the one true living God dwells within us. Are you aware of the treasure that lives within you? That passage in Ephesians goes on in verse 15 to say, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Fast forward to January 2nd, 2023. What will your life look like? 1 year down the road, 5 years, 10 years, 25 years, what kind of person will you be? I can tell you, you'll be the kind of person that you're becoming right now. See, we all take baby steps day by day until we land in a place and become what we are becoming. With that in mind, I want to share four things about time. Number one, time is limited. All of us have a finite time on this earth, and so we must make the most of the opportunity that we've been given. We don't know when our time on this earth will end, but we do know it will end. Some of us will live to be 70, 80, 90, perhaps even 100. But this past year, our young adults learned that sometimes people pass away in the 20s as we lost a good friend. So we're called to live one day at a time. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it and live it to its fullest. January 2nd, 2022. It's a date that will happen only one time in history. Someone will be born today. Someone will get married today or engaged. Someone will close a business deal that makes them a lot of money. Somebody will have a highlight that makes them famous for a few minutes. So it's significant. But it's also significant because today's the last day that someone will live. Someone will hear the words, the tumor is malignant. Someone will lose a job, and somebody will get a phone call that changes their life forever. And all of these things will happen around our city today. But most of us don't recognize it because we take tomorrow for granted. Paul says, live in a wise way. Make the most of every opportunity. It doesn't just mean that it could happen. It could happen today. When I think about opportunity, I'm always reminded of Wally Pipp. How many of you know who Wally Pipp is? Not many. Wally Pipp played first base for the New York Yankees. But one day he had a headache, and so he took the day off. And in his place, a rookie named Lou Gehrig stepped in. And for the next 15 years, 2,130 games, no one would play first base for the New York Yankees besides Lou Gehrig. He made the most of the opportunity he was given. Will we? God wants us to realize the value of each day, of today. That's why Moses prays in Psalm 90:12, give us a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may have a heart of wisdom. See, a heart of wisdom doesn't take tomorrow for granted. It learns to say things like, I'm sorry, please forgive me, or I forgive you, I love you, thank you, or I surrender all. Billy Graham once said, the greatest waste in all the earth, which cannot be recycled or reclaimed, is our waste of the time God gives us each day. When I think about living in the moment, I speak to a lot of athletic teams, and I always share the story of a young man that played for us at SMU about 8 or 9 years ago. And he actually attended this church while he was here. He had hopes of playing in the NFL, but in his senior year, in the fourth game against TCU, on a routine play as he's running down the field, his Achilles snapped, and he never played the game again. He's gone on to get married and have a child, and he's doing great. But he's told me on numerous occasions, I wish I could have one more time to suit up, just so I could know that it was my last. To enjoy the moment. The same thing that Ryan, his name was Ryan Smith, the same thing that Ryan would tell us, to enjoy each moment because you never know when it's your last, applies to whether you're suiting up for work, or whether you're going to a family gathering, whether you're having lunch with a friend, or a visit with an aging parent or grandparent. Cherish it and make the most of it. We all have other things that we need to be doing, but live in the moment. Be where your feet are. You've heard it said, live every day like it's your last. That's impractical. If it was my last, I wouldn't pay bills, I wouldn't go to work, I wouldn't do all of those crummy things, right? So a better way is to live every day like it's everyone else's last. In doing so, you'll become more grace-filled, more forgiving, more ready to be loving and compassionate. Time is limited. Number two, time is made up of moments. See, we can't remember all of our lives, but we remember special moments. Regular days are soon forgotten, but sometimes those days have special events that we will remember forever. Special moments often come and go before we realize their significance. But then there's also those moments like that we anticipate, like engagements or weddings or births of children and grandchildren. But then there are those that interrupt the ordinary and mundane with the extraordinary and special. We endure questions from our children about everything from why is the sky blue to how car engines work. But then there's that moment when they ask us why we believe in Jesus. Or another deep matter of faith. We have hundreds of meaningless conversations with friends and coworkers, but then come those moments when we have an opportunity to talk about matters of the heart. You see, when I think about moments, I think about my son leaving for school. I was totally ready for him to leave. I knew I wasn't ready for our oldest child, our daughter, to leave for school, and I knew that was going to break my heart, and sure enough, it did. But with my son, because of COVID, I'd had all this time to be with him, to play golf, to play tennis, to have all these extra time that I wasn't counting on. And so I really thought that I was ready for him to leave. Right up until the last time that he came in to tell us goodnight. He had been out with friends. I was laying in bed. And he comes in to tell us goodnight. And the reality of knowing that that was the last time I would tell him goodnight when he lived underneath our roof hit me. And I, through shake voice, said goodnight and told him to get on. But then as I turned out the lights, tears began to roll down my face because I longed for one more moment, one more father-son Bible study, or one more moment on a golf course where we got to a deep conversation. I thought I was ready. I wasn't longing for more time. I was longing for more moments. What does it mean to number your days? It means to be ready for the moment. Be wherever your feet are. If you're someone who's getting to retire or who's going to retire in 2022, I want to encourage you to still work each day to the fullest, to enjoy every moment with coworkers. If you're a mother of a preschooler who will be ready to pull your hair out some moments during 2022, I remind you that it'll be gone soon enough. You've heard me say it before. When raising kids, the days are long, but the years are short. Or if you're the father of a teenager who wants to do something that's going to take up your Saturday, but you have a regular golf game or a project that you were intending to work on, I want you to weigh those decisions carefully, because soon enough, those Saturdays will be gone. Or if you're a grandparent who thinks that your job of raising children is over, know that you carry lots of wisdom, so be ready for the opportunity to share it. I love the fact, and often brag on the fact, that we have so many retired folks here at Preston Road who have gotten busy with nonprofits and are pouring their life into things that matter. I love that. Don't wait until the end of a chapter to recognize how special it is. Ultimately, it's about the relationships that we share. Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." You want to get the most out of 2022? Learn to love and lay down your life for those around you. A life that matters realizes it's about relationships, not accomplishments. Number one, time is limited. Number two, time is made up of moments. Number three, we always have time for the things we put first. What's first in your life? Do the priorities that you state line up with how you spend your time? We often say things like, "I just don't have enough time to read God's word," but we sure do play a lot of video games and watch sitcoms. Or we think, "I just wish I had more time to call that friend that's been on my mind," but we don't. But we sure do have a lot of time to make our life look awesome on social media. Or we can't make it to worship or Bible study, but we spend hours and hours binge watching Netflix. Or then comes the distractions. And that's the thing that happens to me. I have the best of intentions, but I get distracted easily. I do have the Bible app on my phone, and I had intended to use that for my daily Bible reading and devotional time, but I couldn't do it because I would start, and then as I'm in the middle of reading, a text would pop up. I would return that text, then I might have to Google something, and the next thing I know, I'm a million miles away. It's a metaphor for so much of how I live my life. Farland and the staff are challenging us to read through the New Testament this spring. Starting today is our first reading, and it'll go through May. I want to encourage you to please consider joining in that journey. You see, 80%, more than 80% of Christians believe that the Bible gives us a great recipe for how to live our lives. But less than 1 out of 5 Christians read their Bible more than once a week. Guys, Satan doesn't care if we revere our Bible. He doesn't care if we have a special place that we keep it on the shelf or we keep it in a special cover. He doesn't care if we revere it. He just doesn't want us to read it. I want to invite you to join us. I'm committed, and I encourage you to be as well, to read every day this spring, to allow the Word to transform our lives and give us the proper perspective and remind us of the treasure within us. Number one, time is limited. Number two, time is made up of moments. Number three, we always have time for the things we put first. And finally, number four, time is in his hands. Because time is limited and we only have a certain amount of moments, for our lives to truly make a difference, we must trust it in the hands of the one who stands outside of time. You see, as great as friends make special moments or help us get through tough times, eventually, people let us down. They die. They move. They drift away. Or we discover their imperfection. The God who created you wants to walk through this life with you. So when the storms of 2022 come, when people disappoint us, when things don't go as planned, when we don't win the championship or our biggest client takes his business somewhere else, when we get those life-changing phone calls, or when it's us riding in the ambulance, all that matters at that moment is, are we aware that we are a jar of clay in the hands of the Almighty Potter? Where is your anchor? We live in an imperfect world, but we have a God who promised never to leave us or forsake us. Paul wrote from prison, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again, rejoice. See, Paul didn't allow his circumstances to define him. He was aware of the treasure that lived within him. We're just jars of clay with imperfections that God is working to mold us, sometimes through prosperity, sometimes through trials. But if we will allow him, if we'll strive to imitate him, to live as his children, to remember who we are, children of the Most High, and that we walk with Jesus, when we are mindful of the treasure that lives within us, it is then that we have the proper perspective and can live the ultimate life. I've shared this story with you before, but I want to do it one more time because it just fits so well. And as I tell my kids, if you've heard this story before, don't stop me because I like telling it. In 1992, in the Barcelona Summer Olympics, there was a guy named Derek Redmond who was one of the favorites to win the 400 meters. Derek was from England. He was going to achieve Olympic immortality. He wanted his time to be one of the best ever ran, and he wanted to win gold and achieve that immortality. As Derek ran in the semifinals, he made it through the quarters, and as he ran in the semifinals, as he came around the first turn, his hamstring snapped and he fell to the track. All the other runners went on and finished in a matter of seconds. Derek made his way up, took a couple of steps, fell back down to the track, grimacing in pain. He got up again and started to go, limping, but couldn't really do it on his own. From out of the crowd, a man came running, moving security and jumping over barriers and saying, "That's my son, that's my son, let me go, that's my son," and wouldn't be stopped. And he made his way out onto the track, and he said, "Derek, you don't have to do this." And Derek looked up at him and said, "Yes, I do, Dad. Yes, I do." Then Jim Redmond took Derek's arm and put it around his neck, and he said, "Then we'll do it together." And the two of them began to make their way around the track to the applause of thousands, millions watching on TV. Wasn't a dry eye in the house. I have no clue who won the gold medal in the 400 of the 1992 Olympics, but I'll never forget the guy who finished last. In the same way, if we will live our lives on the support, under the molding of our Heavenly Father, regardless of what our plans are, regardless of what we want to achieve, if we will live walking arm in arm with our Creator, our lives will be more beautiful than we could ever hope or imagine. Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you. Thank you for loving us with a love that we can't even begin to comprehend. Thank you for your patience, your mercy, your grace. God, I pray that we will be aware that we are the clay and that you are the potter, that we are the work of your hand. Father, help us to not become discouraged when things don't go our way, but help us to realize that you are molding us and that you make everything beautiful in its time. God, thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. May we be aware of the treasure that lives within us, his light, And may we be a shining example as your children to the world around us in the year ahead. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.